what I want to talk to you now is probably the most important thing I've learned in the last 23 years of doing this type of training and consulting. Other than my faith in the good Lord, this is by far the most important thing that I have learned. If you understand what I'm going to share with you now, you can change the way you think. You can change your golf game. You can change your diet. You can change your health. You can change your income. You can change your relationship. You can even find a spouse, find a husband or a wife. It is the most powerful thing I have learned. And I'm going to teach it to you in such a way that how I learned it, it changed my income, it changed my golf game, and it changed my weight for the rest of my life. And it also gave me an opportunity to reflect back about how I looked at other people. So the coaching cycle is what we call it. And we coach three different ways. The first way we coach is that conversation that we carry on inside of your head. As I'm talking to you, you're talking to yourself. If you're driving a car, you're thinking about making a left turn. You're thinking about a right turn. How am I going to stop and get something for dinner? If you're at home, you're thinking about what the kids are doing. If you're at work and you're thinking about this, I hope the boss doesn't come in here and listen to me. All those conversations are going on inside of your head as I'm talking to you. When I quit talking, it carries on for about 10 times as fast. See, it's impossible to not talk to yourself. Because if you're not talking to yourself, how would you know unless you ask yourself if you're talking to yourself? So you'd have to ask yourself if you're talking to yourself to find out if you're not talking to yourself. So therefore, you'd always be talking to yourself. It's impossible for you to not talk to yourself. We're always coaching ourselves all the time. The second way we coach is by the way other people talk to me. Talk to Jim. People tell me how I am. People say, you're always this way. You're always late. You're always on time. You're a great salesman. You're a great closer. You're a great speaker. You're a wonderful golfer. Constantly, people are telling me how I am. The third way we coach is by the way I tell other people how I am. So in other words, I would tell them that this is like me. This is the way I've been. I've been like this all my life. This is the way I've always done things. So I tell people how I am. So I'm coaching their thought process into a picture of how I want them to see me. And 99.9% of the people in the world do not even know that they're constantly doing that. We're constantly coaching ourselves and telling ourselves what we're like. Why is this important? Because we as human beings, we move towards what we think about. Whatever we're thinking about, we move towards, whether it's what we want or what we don't want. It's like driving down the road. Have you ever tried to cross the white line and not hit those little bumps? So what do you focus on? You focus on the bumps. It's almost impossible to go through there until you learn the art of looking for the spaces while you're driving down the road. And if you're driving down the road, be careful if you're trying that right now. But we move towards what we think about. If we're on our bicycle and we're riding down the road and we see the rock in the road, we don't want to hit the rock, but we see it, we keep focusing on it, what do we hit? The power of suggestion in our mind is absolutely powerful. And there are thousands of books, there are doctors, all kinds of people telling you this. But as you're listening to this right now, people are saying to themselves, yeah, but you don't know about me. And the second you tell yourself you don't know about me, what are you doing? You're coaching yourself. You're talking to yourself right now. So here's what I'm going to tell you to do. And here's what I want you to listen to me about. Listen to me very carefully. Stop the negative coaching. In other words, stop coaching yourself backwards. And if you continue to do it, here's what I want you to tell yourself. I choose to coach myself backwards. Well, that's not what I want, but that's what you're getting. I'm going to show you how that works right now. I'm going to show you how we move towards what we think about. So if you take a clock, for example, and at 12 o'clock on a clock is what we're going to call that self-talk, that conversation that I just explained to you about of how we talk to ourselves and how we think, and that we're carrying on with ourselves right now. That's at 12 o'clock. And if you move around the clock clockwise, you come to 4 o'clock, and if you draw a little arrow down to that 4 o'clock where the self-image is at 4 o'clock, we're going to call 4 o'clock the self-image. So the self-talk, what it does is it creates a self-image. It creates opinions, beliefs of who you know yourself to be. It tells you this is who you are. This is what you are like. Your self-talk is constantly affirming to yourself that this is your opinion of yourself. It's called your self-image. So if you tell yourself, I don't like myself, I don't like myself, I don't like myself, your self-image goes, okay, I hope you act like that. Same if I tell myself I'm a great golfer, and that's my self-image, I'm a great golfer. To maintain reality, how do you think I'm going to go play golf? That's called at 9 o'clock, that's called our actions. We must go out and act like we know ourselves to be. So at 12 o'clock, write self-talk. 4 o'clock, write self-image. 9 o'clock, write act. And then in a little bit smaller letters, I-O-N, called your actions. We act like we know ourselves to be. It's more important for you to act like you know yourself to be than it is to be different. I could tell you all day long you could be different, but if you don't believe you can be, you will not see the opportunities. In fact, you will block them out and you will say to yourself, yep, I knew I wasn't going to succeed at this. Yep, I knew I couldn't make that sales call. We work to maintain sanity. So between 9 o'clock and 12 o'clock, here's what I want you to write down. Because whenever we act like ourselves, we say a very simple statement. We either say that's like me or that's not like me. We make an affirmation. We affirm to ourselves that's like me or that's not like me. So every time that I do something, I reinforce it with my self-talk and I say that's like me or that's not like me. And I record that down in my self-image, down in that memory bank in my head. I record that as my opinion, a belief of who I know myself to be. Then to maintain reality, I go out and I act like it again. And every time I act like it, there I go again. That's like me. Not at all what I wanted, or maybe it is what I wanted. But every time I hit a good shot, I say, that's like me. Every time I make a good sales call, I say, that's like me. When I do something wrong, I may say, well, that's not like me. I normally do it better. So let me give you an example of how this works. In fact, how many of you out there have kids? How many have kids that have a sloppy room or a husband that is a mess? I'm going to show you a technique right here, understanding the 12 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and 9 o'clock principle of the coaching cycle of how you actually coach your kids into having a messy room. So if you're driving a car, you may want to pull over because this may change your life so much that you will not believe that it's going to be that easy. But it is. So when I was growing up, my parents had a habit of saying, Jim, you're the laziest kid in the world. You're not only the laziest kid in the world, but you're a slob. I mean, look at your room. It's a pig pen. I mean, it is absolutely a pig pen. I mean, look at it. I mean, they would take me right up there, open the door, and they would stand there for 15 minutes and tell me what a pig I am. Now, I'm starting to build an opinion of myself. I mean, after all, I'm a little kid. My parents are grown up. And I trust my parents, as most kids do, because they're big who sets. Because if you get sick, who do you go to? Your parents. If you need food, who do you go to? Your parents. If you need shelter, who do you go to? Your parents. So when your parents tell you something, you believe it. Parents, you are a powerful, powerful force in your children's life. So my parents kept saying, Jim, you're the laziest kid in the world. You're a slob. And that became my self-image. How do you think I'd keep my room? That would be my actions at 9 o'clock. It would be a mess. And they would come home the next night just so I wouldn't forget and say, Jim, when are you going to start keeping your room clean? You're a slob. You're a pig. I mean, look at your room. You're an absolute mess. And then just so, you know, they might figure out some way of helping me to motivate, they would do the comparative analysis. Have you ever done that at work or someplace? Why can't you be like your brothers and sisters? Look at their room, how neat they are. So I'm building a self-image, and my self-talk pretty soon goes, hey, I'm the best slob in the world. I'm the greatest pig around. There's nobody better than I am. I mean, look at my whole family tells me I'm the greatest slob in the world. Not at all what we want, but it's what I got. So hang on, don't worry about it. I'll show you a technique of how to get this fixed. But just hang on, listen to this a little bit, because we coach people backwards. We're always telling people what it is we don't want instead of what it is we do want. My parents wanted my room clean. I'll show you how to fix it, but hang on. Let me give you another great example of how we move towards what we think about. Golfers, I love golf. I like playing golf for money. Why? Because my self-talk is better than most golfers. What do you mean? Well, when we're standing on the first tee, they get up there, they hit a ball out of bounds, they hook it out of bounds, they hit the club on the ground, and then what do they do? What do? You start talking to yourself. You tell myself, there I go again. I can't believe how stupid am I hitting the ball out of bounds. And that was a brand new ball. I can't believe I just did that. And you talk about it all the way down the fairway. What do you think I'm talking to you about? Man, I've never seen a ball go out of bounds like that. Where'd you get that hook? Did you buy it off a banana boat or something? I'm helping you program your subconscious that you're thinking you're going to hit the ball out of bounds every time you go to hit it. So you get up and you stand over the ball to hit the ball again the next time. What are you doing? Some of you are talking to God and you're saying, please, God, don't let me hit it out of bounds. Maybe the only time you talk to him. But your self-talk is, please don't let me do that. And your motor mechanisms say, that's your self-image. That's like you. You always hit it out of bounds. And there you go again. You hook it one more time. And then you say, what am I doing wrong? Why can't it be so stupid? What am I don't know. I've never seen a problem like that before. Thank goodness I don't have that disease. How long have you had that disease? And that's what they're thinking about. I was playing golf with a friend of mine, George. We came to a water hole. And those of you that don't play golf, I apologize, but it's a great example. We came to a par three. Par three is about 150 yards over water. And so that means you got to stand on the tee box, you got to hit the ball up in the air, and you got to get it to land on the green without flying off the other side. Otherwise, it'll be a penalty. And I said, hey, George, it looks like you're going to hit the ball in the water. He said, no, I'm not. I said, yes, you are. And he says, no, I'm not. Finally, he got mad. He says, Jackson, you travel all around the world teaching people to be positive. Why would you tell me I'm going to hit the ball in the water? I said, it's very simple. When you walked up here on the tee box, you reached into your bag and you pulled out your bad ball. You pulled out your water ball. You didn't want to hit your good ball in the water, so you were thinking about going in the water before I ever said anything. A lot of you do that every day in life. Whether you're going on a sales call or talking to your spouse, you pull out your bad ball because you know it's not going to work. And your bad ball is just playing it safe. You ever know anybody that's always 5 or 10 minutes late for a meeting? They're always 5 or 10, and people show up late to the meeting, and everybody goes, why, Jackson, you're late again. And I say something like, well, yeah, I know. I've been late all my life. In fact, I was born late. I can remember my parents saying I was born past the due date. I'm a late baby. You aren't born late. You're born when you are. You know, you aren't born early, you aren't born late. You're just born. But we start to develop a self-image that I'm always late. I'm always late. So if you believe you are, subconsciously, you'll forget something at home, or you'll have to turn around and go back, or you'll stop to get something. Well, it'll only take 5 minutes. So you can maintain reality of that self-image that I'm always late. Here's another great one, weight loss. You ever know anybody who's tried to lose weight? And I know there's thousands of you out there because I've seen you at the weight programs. And every time you lose 5 or 10 pounds, what do? I'll say it for you. You gain it back and an extra 5 pounds. What in the heck is the matter with me anyway? So here's Dr. Phil on TV giving us all these secret answers of how we can lose weight. And it's nothing more than learning how to control your self-talk. You're coaching yourself into losing weight or not losing weight. That's your self-image. So every time you lose 5 or 10 pounds and you know you gain it right back, first of all, eliminate the word lose. When you lose something, what do you want to do? You want to find it. So don't say I'll lose weight. Say the desired weight you want to be, not what you lost. So every time you lose 5 or 10 pounds, and here's what I do, because I've seen some of you there, is that you go to get yourself an Oreo Blizzard. Hey, you know, I've been pretty good. But, you know, since I'm going off the diet, I might as well really go off the diet. And go and get a Snickers bar at the 7-Eleven on the way. We go get the Blizzard, we eat that, and we say, oh, well, I've really screwed that up. I might as well just go to McDonald's to get an extra big helping of French fries and a Big Mac. Not at all what I wanted. But our self-talk goes, there I go again. That's like me. I'm always screwing up diets. And so you make a big check mark over there in the self-image. Yep, that's like me. I'm always screwing up my eating habits. So you've screwed it up already. So you go over there and you make love to the refrigerator and you eat everything in the refrigerator. And there you go again. That's like me. And we reinforce it by coaching ourselves backwards. Boy, you think I'm kidding. How many times have you had your kids walk into the front room with a glass of juice and you tell them, don't spill it? And the second you use that most powerful word in the English language called don't, your motor mechanisms in your hand just automatically make it jump out of the glass. And you say, sorry, Dad, it's not at all what I wanted. You know, but it happened right after you told them not to spill it. Don't spill it. It's not at all what you wanted, but it's what you coached them towards. Loved ones are great. Honey, you drive carefully. You know how you are. You always get in a lot of accidents. Geez, thanks for reminding me. I almost forgot. I better go find an accident. It's been a couple of months since I've had one. Not at all what I wanted, but we coach people. You're a lousy driver. I'll never forget when I first started going out with my wife, that time when she was my girlfriend, and she said to me one time, and please do not try this. I am a trained professional. I know how to handle this kind of situation. But we were going out, and she said, you don't listen to me. And when she said that, I stood up and I walked out of the room. She says, what are you doing? I said, I'm just helping you maintain reality. She goes, what are you talking about? You told me I don't listen. So I'm just going to accelerate the process and get up and walk out. She said, what? Let me help you. I told her, tell me what it is you want. What is it you want? And she said, very nicely, I mean, just in a very articulate way, I want you to understand me. I want you to have compassion for me. I want you to hear and listen and look me in the eye when I'm talking to you. I said, then tell me that. Say, I like it when you look me in the eye. I like it when you listen to me. I like it when you hear what I have to say. That means a lot to me. Tell me what it is you want. I was doing a workshop one time, and the guy in the back of the room raised his hand. He said, this stuff sounds great, but you don't know my wife. I go, yes, you're right. I don't know your wife. I said, tell me a little bit more. He said, well, my wife's kind of a nag. I said, do you ever tell her she's a nag? He goes, yeah, I tell her at least 25 times a day. Not at all what he wanted, but it was what he was getting. He was helping to coach his wife into being a nag. Remember, there's three ways we coach. By the way we talk to ourselves, by the way other people talk to us, and by the way I talk to you. And so we're coaching people backwards. We're telling people what it is we want. Good athletes are trained to never read the sports page because they don't want to read they're in a slump. They're in a slump. They're in a slump. Tiger Woods is in a slump. He's in a slump. And they start to believe it. Baseball players, they believe they're in a slump. They're in a slump. They're in a slump. And they can't hit the ball. It could be pitched underhand. They can't hit it. Why? Because that's their self-image. That's their self-talk. We move towards what we think about. So I'm going to help you correct it right now. I'm going to help you fix it. So go back to the 12 o'clock, and right underneath the 12 o'clock where the self-talk is, here's the key words to correcting this. Write in big red letters, if you got a red pen, write the word stop, S-T-O-P. Stop it. And you say to little Jimmy, I don't care how you stop it, but stop it. And you may say something like, you deserve to live better than this. You deserve a much nicer home than this. It's like you to have a clean room. And what you do is you help them clean up the room. You give them a picture of what it is that you want them to move towards. And then the next word you want to write down, so you remember, is N-E-X-T. Next time, why don't you move towards this? Why don't you keep your room clean like this? And you help them clean it up, and you come home the very next night. And I don't care how messy the room is. You find one little spot in the room, and you say, you know what, Jimmy? I'm proud of you. You're starting to keep your room clean. I'm telling you, that's easy. I've taught it to these people before. Tell people what it is you want. I've had people get on the phone, call their kids, and say, you know what? I was bragging about you at dinner tonight about how clean your room was. They got home, and the room was clean. See, kids want to help you maintain your reality. Kids are powerful. They honor you. They want to do right for you. Same with spouses. If you tell your wife she's a nag, boy, that's what you're going to get. If you tell her she's a great listener, boy, that's what you're going to get. If you tell yourself I'm not a very good closer, that's what you're going to get. We move towards what we think about. And some of you are saying, well, you know, wait a minute. You don't know my kids. I know my kids better than you. I know my kids really well. After all, I've been the parent of my kids for 15 years. I know that they're a slob. And I got a great story about a car dealer out in San Jose, California, Jim. And he was arguing with me. I mean, he knew his son, Brett, was a slob. I mean, he knew it, and there's no way I was going to convince him otherwise. So for 2 hours, I'm trying to convince him. Finally, I said, time out. I'm not going to do this anymore. I quit. So let's go home and get your wife, and let's go out to dinner, and I'll talk to her. So they took me home to his house. Spectacular home. Took me on a tour of the house. Took me down to Brett's room. In Brett's room, well, the bed was made, and there was only one pair of pants on the floor. You know what my self-talk was? Man, this is pretty clean. I can't believe this. So we're out to dinner, and I'm trying to convince his wife, and she's not buying it either. See, parents, sometimes the hardest thing to change is not your kids, but your self-image of your own kids. And I'm trying to convince them, and they're not buying it. So I said, let's go home. We're going to do a test. And I'm going to give you some things to say. I'm going to tell you exactly what your son's going to say and then how you should respond to it. Just try it. That's all you want. And if it doesn't work, I'll never bring it up to you again. Promise. They said, fine. So we drove home, got in the house, went down to the front room. Jim called Brett in and said, hey, Brett. Brett sat on the floor. His dad says, I'm really proud of you. I took Mr. Jackson on a tour of the house, and I wanted to thank you. Your room was really clean. And I told him he was going to say this. This is a true story. He turned to his mom and said, is Dad okay? And his mom said, we were really proud of you. Your room was really clean. And he sat straight up in his chair. He said, it was, wasn't it? Both Jim and his wife had tears in their eyes. And they said, it can't be that easy. And I'm telling you, it is that easy. Are you coaching forwards or are you coaching backwards? Are you getting what you want or are you getting what you're focusing on? If you're focusing on negative results, that's what you're going to get. I was watching a Golf Channel last week. Nick Faldo said the word that you should never, ever use on a golf course is don't. Because once you use the word don't, you have to paint a picture in your mind of where you don't want it to hit. And that becomes your roadmap. That becomes what you focused on. So when you say don't do this, that's what you get. So what you want to do is tell people what it is you want. Coach them forwards, whether it's in business or it's in your house or it's sales calls, riding a motorcycle, playing golf, whatever the case may be. Focus on what it is you want, not what you don't want. And I promise you this, if you start doing this and writing yourself positive self-talk statements, sometimes we got to write it on a paper, say, I feel great now that I weigh 175 pounds. I feel great now my room is clean. Write it out. Paint a picture of it. Use graphics. Use whatever you need to do to get a good picture of what it is you want to move towards. We move towards what we think about. So either you're coaching yourself forwards, you're coaching yourself backwards. And if you're hanging around a lot of people that are coaching you backwards, man, it's time to change friends. And if your work teams are coaching you backwards, it's time to change teams. Because the great athletes of the world, the Muhammad Ali's, the Michael Jordans, or the Tiger Woods of the world, what would they say? They practice and believe they can hit it, and they say, that's like me. They're constantly telling themselves how great they are. What are you telling yourself? Are you telling yourself I'm a failure? Are you telling yourself you're great? The choice is yours. God has given us a wonderful gift called the power of choice. And you can choose how you think about yourself. It's that easy. Thank you. God bless you.